Ever since I got involved in the Christ Life ministry and now the Follow Me ministry, the whole paradigm has been making the exodus that God calls his people to make. It says in our bulletin, be holy and set apart. Well, that's what God is doing. He's separating those that are his from those that are not his. He's separating light from darkness. He's separating truth from lies. He's separating holiness, righteousness from sin, corruption. Because that's his nature. He's perfect. And so he calls us to make this exodus, and we're all on the exodus. Denny once said that he believes that by and large the people in this congregation have above average faith. And I believe that's true. I see tremendous faith in a lot of people here. Tremendous love for God, tremendous obedience, tremendous attitude that is open and trusting and yielded to God. But we're on an exodus. It's like, are we there yet? You know, no, we're not there yet. We have a ways to go. However much it is, however long it takes, God only knows. But I think we're getting a lot closer than we were 2,000 years ago. We're a lot closer than the apostles were when it all started to begin to move into the new covenant era. Been a lot of carnage along the way, a lot of meandering back and forth, but God keeps bringing us back on target. And for us who are en route and in process and under construction, et cetera, et cetera, at times it can be very discouraging. Stuff happens. The world is doing this. The world isn't doing that. Things explode. Things are taken away from us. Our body gets older and weaker and more pain-filled as we go. See? And it's real easy to think, is this really true? Am I hearing it right? Is God real? Does it really mean what he said? You know, we're attacked with that because of our very limited en route under construction perspective. But that's when it's time for us to go back to what God's word says and try to the best of our ability to take off our glasses and put his on and see from his perspective, which is an eternity, which has everything done and finished and perfect. And it never changes. It doesn't need to. It's perfect. See, but down here, in time and space, in this dimension, it's not perfect. Far from it. It's a mess. See, it's mean and brutal and scary and nasty. And so he gave us the revelation that we need. We need to bury it in our hearts. We need to plant it, lots of it, so until it takes root and begins to become strong enough that it will enable us to keep going. Knowing in our heart, maybe even though we don't see it, that God is seeing us not the way we are right now, but he's seeing the whole thing the way it's going to be. See? Wow. And that is a completely different thing than what any of us can see. That's why we don't live by sight, but by faith in God's word. And not in, so in other words, don't believe what you think. Don't believe what you see. Don't believe how you feel. There's more It goes way beyond that. It has nothing to do with that. That's temporary. But what God has given to us, where God is taking us, is eternal. And he's looking at it from that perspective. And so in his heart, it's, come on, guys, keep going. Keep going. Don't stop. Don't stop. And he's not here to beat on us. He's here to take us home. Okay? Take us home. But if we get off course, of course, he's got to correct the course. We don't want to end up light years away from where we're supposed to dock. We have to stay on course, and that's why he gave us his word. So in that context, the difficulty of the Exodus causes believers, even God's people, to lose sight of the bullseye. Even those that are born again, even those that are filled with the Holy Spirit, even those people that have been years in ministry can get beat down and discouraged and lose sight of the course. And when that happens, we're like spiritual zillionaires with a bad case of amnesia. See, if you're a zillionaire and you got everything and you're already there, but you have amnesia, then you don't know who you are. You don't know where you belong. You don't know what you have, and because of that, you can't use it, much less share it. That's why it's good to get snapped out of our Exodus trances and get back into God's reality from God's perspective, so that we can be strengthened and encouraged and corrected and whatever else we need, and keep going until he gets us across the finish line. So people that get beat up and discouraged along the way and fall into this spiritual amnesia, it's good to get back to texts like Ephesians chapter 4, 17 to 25. Listen to this. So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk. That's interesting. He's writing to Gentiles. Ephesians. And he says, don't walk like the Gentiles walk. So what does that mean? We have to become Jewish? No. No. That's impossible. We are what we are. But if the Jewish people are going to end up at the right bullseye, and the non-Jewish people are going to end up at the right bullseye, sooner or later they're going to have to come together, right? They're going to have to become echad, one new man in Messiah. See? But it's not an ethnic thing. I'm going to try to unpack a little bit of what it is, so maybe it will help us to see the difference and stay on track and not get off on bunny trails. Okay? In the beginning, God created Adam and Eve to be his image and likeness. In the beginning, there was no sin. They were innocent. In the beginning, as his image and likeness, well, what does that mean? But very simply put, it meant that they had this incredible echad relationship with God's living word, the word through which he revealed himself and his nature and his character and his perfect standards of righteousness. It was all done through the word. It's all in the word and by the word. The living word. See, this was done before there was anything written. No scripture. The living word. We know the living word later became flesh and dwelt amongst us and is now risen and sitting at the right hand of God. In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. A manifestation, a radiance, an outpouring of the fullness of God. And the relationship that Adam and Eve had with him was oneness. Of course, oneness with God has to do with recognizing his authority and doing what he said. See? Obedience of faith. So they were like that. They did it. What came out of him, they reflected back. They were the image and likeness of the image and likeness of God. And so, in that sense, the Word of God was their spiritual head. And as long as they had the Word of God on their spiritual shoulders as head, then his life and his righteousness and his perfect obedience to the Father and everything else that's in him could come into them, including his authority. And so therefore, because they were so one with God's word, Genesis tells us that he delegated his authority to them, and through them he came into the earth to tend the earth and care for the animals and establish on the earth everything just the way it was already established in eternity at his Father's throne. See, mirror image, image and likeness, echad with God. And so when the serpent did his thing and downloaded the virus of his lies into Eve's onboard computer, and then she infected Adam's onboard computer with a lie, the serpent managed to cut off their head. He decapitated them. And when he decapitated the humans, the life and the righteousness and everything else that they used to receive, spiritually speaking, from their head was no longer coming through. He was still maintaining his act of creation and sustaining them, because he wasn't going to let it sit at that. God is perfect. And when he says it's going to be one way, it's going to be that way, no matter what any serpent or demon or anything tries to do to stop it. You see, but in that condition, boy, you need an exodus. You need to come back home. You need to be what you were made to be and do what you were created to do and be where you belong. And this is not it. See? So the world became a decapitated world. The living dead. See, when you're decapitated, the rest of you think, well, I guess I do my own thing, huh? I guess it's up to me. I got to do everything. Because, and especially if you're born into that, and you're conditioned by a world that's all around you that's doing that, what else are you going to know? How else are you going to think? How else will your brain get wired? Except for decapitated thinking, decapitated living, decapitated acting, reacting, and interacting. It's all about me. So you can see how off course that is. That's not going to get us to where we were, back to where we were supposed to be. It's going to get us really lost forever. So, God being as perfect as he is, he wasn't going to let it sit with that. He immediately sends his word after them. Their head came looking for his body. See, because when the people are decapitated, the head is dismembered. And that really impedes God's plan of him tending to creation and releasing his authority through his delegated humans, his image and likeness. See, that really gets messed up. And so the world got messed up because it was deprived of what God would not do without his humans. And so the world wasn't working right either. Creation got skewed. It got to be mean and nasty and brutal and competitive. Dog eat dog. See? Well, beloved, that's headlessness. That's the epitome of it. I don't care what race it is. I don't care what color it is. I don't care what culture it develops. I don't care what its ideals and accomplishments may be. It is headless. It is cut off from the living Word of God. The Exodus, therefore, is to call the headless people to repent of their headless living, of their headless identity, of their headless thinking, and to come back to become echad with the head, so that they become echad with the Father of the head and the Spirit of the head and with each other. Because if we're not connected to the head, we don't have anything heavenly to work with in relating to other people, whether they're headless or not. Because we don't have what is his to draw from by the Holy Spirit. So does that make sense? You understand what I'm saying? Okay, so the Exodus is not from bad behavior to good behavior. It's not from wrong doctrine to right doctrine. It's not from being Gentile to being Jewish. Those are all temporary things. We're talking about eternal things. The Exodus is a call to repent of our headlessness, to acknowledge it, to admit it, to repent of it, to forsake it, and to follow the living Word of God to wherever his Father has told him to bring us. Follow me, says the Word. You see what would happen if we were to say, no, why don't you come into my life? Come into my life and help me make my headlessness work better. Come into my life and help me make my headlessness look better and sound better. Can you see? That's a demonic deception. Because if we are united in echad with the head, his holiness and his righteousness become ours. That's why he said to his disciples, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Well, headless people say, well, that's impossible. How could I ever do that? See, but it's not about you doing it like God or for God. It's about you repenting of your distance from God so that he can do it to you, in you, and through you by the power of his Holy Spirit and the authority of his Word. You see? So it's all about not are you right or wrong or are you good or bad, but do you have a head on your shoulders? Are you connected to the head or not? Because if you're connected, you're alive. And if you're not connected, you're dead. And God will not accept anything dead as an offering to him in his presence. Ask Cain about that. So you see, right in Genesis, we get the gospel. It's there. And it never changes. And so if you're really making the Exodus, you're making it from disobedience to obedience. not to customs and traditions, not to what other people say, but to what the living Word of God Himself says. And you're making the Exodus not only for your sake, but for the sake of the kingdom of heaven, which is here to invade the demonic space and take over. And the head is here to take back what is his that has been stolen, which is everything. And so it's about being connected. It's about being echad. It's about, can the life and the activity of the head and the obedience of the head to his Father come through our flesh? Because if all that is his can come through us, we're perfect. Not in ourselves, not in our headlessness, but in him. Does that make sense? Okay, in him. So in the light of that, let's look at some more scripture. This I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, their headless mind, being darkened in their headless understanding, excluded from the under the head life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality. See, not spirit-led, but soulish. Depending on their sin-corrupted, fallen intellect and will and passions and natural affections and what they hear from the other headless people around them. For the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness or selfishness. But you did not learn Messiah that way. See, notice he doesn't say you didn't learn about Messiah. See, headless people become experts of the scriptures. Headless people go to church every time the doors are open. Headless people say prayers and do routines over and over, thinking, that's how I do it. I shall be as God. But we do not learn Messiah that way. Messiah has to do it. First to us, and then in us, and then through us, to the glory of his Father. The fruit that counts is the Messiah's fruit. Not cheap, counterfeit, wax substitutes that look nice but have no life. You did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Yeshua. Connected to Yeshua means his truth, his life, his righteousness is in you. Now let's see it. See, by their fruits you will know them. Many, many will say to me on that day, oh Lord, Lord, did we not do this? Did we not jump through the hoops? Did we not backflip? I never knew you. Depart from me, workers of lawlessness. I get it. I get it. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I bow before you and your authority. Do whatever you have to do to us. Do whatever you have to do in us. Do whatever it is that makes it right in Father's sight. See? Very simple. It isn't about you making this crystal cathedral. It's about you coming out of the bushes with Adam and Eve with your hands up. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him. See? Taught in him. Not taught about him. Taught in him. He in you and you in him. Echad. The truth is in Jesus that in reference to your former manner of your headlessness, your former life, you lay aside the old decapitated self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, the Yeshua in me self, the headed self. Which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth to each one, to one another, with his neighbor. Truth. Truth. Yeshua. Obedience to Yeshua. For we are members one of another because we all have the same head. If we don't have the head, we are chopped liver. So lay aside the old self. Repent, for the King of the kingdom of heaven is here at hand. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, mental and emotional exodus from my original identity, my original citizenship, my original priority list, my original earthly headless activities. So that I can be ready to put on Messiah. Not stuff about Messiah. Messiah himself. The head. First Peter 2, 9 and 10. You are a chosen race. See two races on the earth. The people without head, the people with a head. You are a chosen race because you got a head. The head. A royal priesthood. You're equipped to fulfill what Deuteronomy said was the job description of the Levites. The new covenant. Royal priesthood is the fulfillment. The word, the living word himself, is in them to fulfill what Moses wrote about him centuries before. Through his living members. And together with our eternal high priest, the members of the royal priesthood, abide with him at the Father's right hand to minister to God and to give blessings wherever he says to take them in his name. And to have no stake in the headless world because God is their inheritance. Then he'd believe me, that's enough. See? Well, in Yeshua, that is fulfilled in the new covenant by the power of the Holy Spirit. When God looks at you, that's what he sees. You even got new bodies, and they're gorgeous. He sees it now, even though the ones we got are coming apart. He sees it, and he wants us to see it so that we can finish the journey. Okay? I got plenty more, but we're running out of time. So let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for choosing us to be your sons and daughters. Thank you for having done everything perfectly already. Thank you that the work is finished. It is consummated. It is perfect in your sight, thanks to your precious word, who became flesh and came to be our lamb that we could offer to you. Thank you, dear Lord, for your loving kindness is everlasting. And thank you for your precious Holy Spirit, who fills us and makes Yeshua real to us and in us and through us. Father, whatever is in us that you can see that is getting in the way, that impedes our journey, in the name of Yeshua, we ask you to remove it. Make us aware of it. Give us the power and the ability to repent of it so that we can be emptied of it and filled more with your Holy Spirit. And the more we are filled with your Holy Spirit, the more alive and real and fruit-producing is Yeshua in us. Oh, Father, let it be that the fruit that comes out of this congregation and out of each individual life and each individual family will be fruit that will delight your heart, that will be fully acceptable to you because it's His, that will give you glory for all eternity as you deserve, and that will make Yeshua's agony on our behalf worth every drop of blood He has shed. We ask all of this in His name, and in His name we caress your face. Amen.